Hi there, my name is Cindy Bennett, and I'm so honored to be with you today to bring to you, hopefully, an incredible and due time word of encouragement on this Mother's Day. Will you take a minute and let us know where you're tuning in from? Are you tuning in from your garage, from your basement, from your couch, from your kitchen? Maybe you're doing the dishes and listening in today. You are welcome here. We are so excited to do church with you right where you are. In celebration of Mother's Day, we put together a Take Five for you. This is just a booklet of encouragement. If you would like one of these, please let our online hosts know. We have a team ready to receive your comments, or you can email info@overflowchurch.org. Also, wanted to let members of our community know that Life Plan in Benton Harbor is providing emergency baby supplies to anyone in need during this pandemic. Visit lifeplan.org for more information. And so I want to take a moment right now to acknowledge Mother's Day may not be merry for everyone. Maybe some of you watching have lost a mother, have lost a grandma, have lost a special aunt or nana. Maybe you've experienced a miscarriage or have been trying to get pregnant for some time. Maybe you're listening right now as a mom and the heaping mom guilt is so intense and you think, how can I get up to even take steps to enjoy today? I want to pray for you, and I want to encourage you that I hope today is the day that you give yourself permission to grieve and to heal and receive grace upon grace and lean into God's great love for you. I've titled today's message Unstoppable. We are going to hear about a gracious God with a great, great love. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you for this message. I thank you that you who fashioned us, Jesus, you have such huge plans in store for us. I pray for all the mamas in the house listening online, grieving right now, for whatever reason, that you would draw them close, that you would let them know that you have caught every single tear. I pray for the dads in the house who feel less than, who feel like, oh, it's too late, my kids are grown, that no, you are a suddenly God. You are an ever-present God. It is never too late. You are an on-time God. Jesus, would you just help me teach your word in a way that is a blessing to all the homes listening in right now? I thank you, Lord, and I honor you, and I thank you just for your great and unstoppable love. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So our best quarantine moments are happening right now, and they're centering around Zoom calls, right? Let me explain. So as I'm going through my house, and I'm trying to get my older kids to do chores, and I'm looking at a heaping pile of dishes on our kitchen counter, I use my strong parent mom voice yelling up the stairs to my kids. No response. So I continue to get louder and louder, and I'm walking up the stairs, no response. So now I'm pounding on the door, get up, it's time to do your chores. And then I hear a voice I'm not familiar with. They're FaceTiming their friends. And so then I open up the door, and I'm like, can you hang up? Can you stop FaceTiming? Right? Because if it's not Zoom call, it's FaceTime. So they hang up with their friends, and then I say, did your friend just hear me? Right? And so there have been so many moments where my children's friends are seeing a different side of me, a different side of Brian. And it's that parental voice that has to come out at times, right? Also, one of my favorite things to date, I guess, in this quarantine, well, it's kind of funny now. And at the time, I was a little, you know, bothered by it. But one of my daughters shared in her lesson, classroom time online, in Simbalu, where she was mad at her sister. So she was asked to do a math equation, and instead she decided, no, I'm going to share with my teacher how upset I am at my sister, how mad I am with her right now. And so as I'm hearing her record herself, she put away the assignment and she is just going for it. And she is just telling our Bennett business and she is calling out her sister. And just before I was able, so actually what happened, sorry about that. What happened in this moment is I reached out to press stop and re-record, and she had already beat me to it. And so once she submitted her work, it's too late, whatever. And so in that moment, humility took place, and humility is a good thing, and it's real, right? I haven't heard back from the teacher, but it was real. And then we did talk about, hey, we need to honor our stories in the Bennett household, and it needs to stay here, right? So yeah, there's a whole lot happening right now, emotions and loss. One of my girls is so overwhelmed right now that she'll leave her schoolwork and she'll say, Mom, can you just hold me? Mom, can you just hold me? And I have to put the schooling aside, and I just need to just take a moment to know, you know what, God's got this. You know, He's in charge of this homeschool schedule. It'll be okay. What's important right now for my child is just to hold her. So how many of you right now listening in just need to be held by a good, good father that you just need to stop doing and start being, right? Being is so, so difficult. And so this time for my daughter, you know, it's so confusing, and I'm sure a lot of you can experience and resonate with this as well. And here's why. Take a look at my list. I call it my quarantine list, but really it's my list. And I'm just going to go down. Like, can you relate to any of these items on this list? I have homeschooling and laundry and working and meals and Zoom calls and missed Zoom calls and cleaning and dishes and dishes and junk food eating and praying and planning and cardioing and organizing and grumping, meaning I can be a grumpy guest in my home. And then we have the grocery shopping. Oh, yeah, they're showering too. Family of six, it's really important that that gets fit in somewhere, right? But this list isn't complete. If it was, we'd be walking around in our birthday suits. I haven't even mentioned eating breakfast and getting up and getting ready for our days. And so, so much happening, and yet so much not happening. And we are in the wondering, we are in the waiting, we are in the lamenting. And I love my family, but man, it's a lot. We are not used to being together this much. Can you relate? Comment, yes, I can, Cindy, yes, I can, and it's a lot. And so how are you doing with quarantine kindness in your home or quarantine goals right now? Let us know in the comments. Just know that we are with you. And here's what I would like you to do. Give yourself a 10. Type 10 or speak 10 in the comments right now. 10 if you're crushing it and you're thriving, or 5 if you're doing an okay job and you're surviving. I had a moment in my basement Thursday morning, and it was about 1:30 in the morning. And I was preparing for my Thursday women group. I'm sitting there. And you know how sometimes, you know, God's not done yet and it's not time to go to bed. And, you know, I needed Jesus more in that moment than I needed my bed, right? And this time I listened and I obeyed, and I just knelt before the Father. And I said, Jesus, you know, why in Psalm 51 did restore the joy of your salvation to me? Why did that stand out? And I heard him say, not audibly, but just in my heart, I knew he was calling me to repentance. You see, he draws us with loving cords of kindness to repentance. And so if you have loved ones right now you're praying for to know the love of the Father, may it start with you in being kind and loving them and praying with them and serving them and just being with them. And so for me, I just got on my knees and I started crying out to God, and I started saying things like, Jesus, forgive me for being short with my husband. Lord, forgive me for not being as intentional I need to be with my children when they're asking very specific questions about their schoolwork and I'm just done and there's nothing left in the tank. Forgive me for all the times I have just been so harsh. And Jesus, forgive me for being lazy. Like, I just want to sleep some days away. It's so much happening and going on. And so I just had this time with the Father in my basement, and it was amazing. And I confessed all of that. And then I did say this, Lord, would you restore to me the joy of when I first knew you? Would you bring back the joy, Jesus? Would you help me? And so this next graphic is so good. Oh my goodness, I shared it. And it's similar to a graphic I saw on a friend's feed. And then I had another friend, I have two friends, just kidding. But she saw my post. And then here it is in a cute sermon series graphic just for you. She put words to this. The Spirit speaks for us when we don't know what to pray for. This is what she meant, is how she translated Jesus interceding for me, his daughter. This is what she meant. It's a bit of a jigsaw puzzle, but I got it. Jesus has it. Can you bring her some peace too? She's frazzled. And so thinking about this graphic, if you know me well, you know I'm a word graphic person. Visuals mean the world to me. That's how just the Father really meets me in those sacred spaces. And so this visual came to mind as I read, you know, my friend's comments about what I had just posted. And so grace upon grace, Jesus has our quarantine list. And you know, when this quarantine thing happens, we're still going to struggle with busyness because we live in the world. We're always going to have something to put before the Father, to put before an audience of one for his help. And so I just hope as you look at this picture, may it be true for you. And as you venture on in your week, in your weekend, and the next few weeks and months, that this visual would come to mind and remind you that nothing is too great for the Father. His arm is never too short. He has you. He sees you. And just encouragement to lay out all that you're involved with, everything you're doing, everything you're not doing before the Father, and he will help you at your time of need. So open up to Romans 8, beginning in verse 31. We're going to dive into our text today. It's nothing can separate us from God's love. I'm reading from the NLT version. You're welcome to read it however, whatever version you'd like, or we have it for you on the screen here. What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? Who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for his own? No one. For God himself has given us right standing with himself. Who then will condemn us? No one. For Christ died for us and was raised to life for us. He is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand pleading for us. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? As the scriptures say, for your sake we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And I am convinced that nothing ever can separate us from God's love, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither our fears for today, nor our worries about tomorrow. No, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So this chapter in Romans brings us great comfort. Don't you love that Paul doesn't list who is against us, but he leads with God is for us? And then to know that Jesus pleads on our behalf, come on! Jesus, God of the universe, loves us so much, and he pleads on our behalf, that nothing separates us from the love of Jesus Christ. This should give us confidence in whatever comes our way. When Paul wrote this, he had been facing difficult times. And many of us are facing difficult times now, but Paul knew something. He knew that no matter what happened, nothing would ever be able to separate him, us, from the love of God. Paul shares that neither physical death nor life, neither angels or principalities or demons can separate us from his divine love. God's love, y'all, is on staycation. Yes, 24/7 every day in every way. Yes, spiritual warfare may be strong, but God's love is stronger. God's love is unstoppable. And Paul continues, neither our fears for today or things present is able to prevent us from experiencing God's love. You may have things present in your life right now. Know that Jesus is with you and keep moving and cast your cares. Paul goes on to say, no worries about tomorrow or things to come are also not able to separate us from the love of God. God's love is unstoppable. Not even the powers of hell can separate God's love. Not even the lineage you come from, and you've been wearing that as an inviting and comfortable blanket to say, no, I'm always going to be an alcoholic because you don't even know. You don't even know my story. And I'm always going to struggle with witchcraft and pornography. And I'm always going to be angry. And I'm always going to yell. Or I'm always going to struggle with depression or oppression and insecurity. I'm here to tell you that today is a new day. You can hand all that over to the Father. You can confess your sins. You can repent. And he is near, and he wants to extend his grace upon grace in your story. So not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate you, me, our kids, our grandkids from the love of God. Nothing in all creation. And so creature in this context is the Greek word katizes, referring to all created things in both physical and, get this, and spiritual world. So we're talking about the spiritual world of evil. Even that Christ has conquered all in all creation. And like I said, your lineage, your background, where you've come from, who you think you are, who you think you're not. Even right white privilege, God can redeem. Right? And so nothing, not a zilch, can ever separate us from God's love. And this is huge. This is huge this morning. Someone listening right now, you just may need to know that. And if this is something you can resonate with, would you let us know, let our online hosts know? Would you share with us now how God is blessing your heart right now with truth? And so today we wrap up our hoarders series. I'd like to share with you my hoarding story. What I've been stockpiling for years takes place between my ears. It's my thoughts. The Lord showed me the intensity of my thoughts about 5 years ago when my family and I headed away for a time of refuel. It was our first sabbatical as a family since moving here in 2007 to start Overflow Church. And I remember sitting along the ocean on the shore watching my kids play. And I'd like to share with you a piece of my journal entry from that day. We walked upon a Miami Beach shoreline with dinner in hand. This was a great way to end our first couple of weeks on sabbatical. Dinner was served, and there we sat on our beach towels. My attention was caught between watching the calming waves roll in and observing 12-year-old Elle alternate between playing in the sand and eating her sandwich, careful to wipe the seashell-filled beach sand off her hands before each bite. After dinner, we strolled closer to the water to experience the waves as Brian and the kids were enjoying the water. Although my physical body moved forward to be a part to join them, my soul was being poured out and pulled in another direction. The intense pull was the Lord drawing me back to a makeshift bed on the shoreline that day to rest as he performs spiritual surgery on my soul, revealing unhealthy thinking patterns. And one by one, he removed old tattered bandages I had strategically placed over ancient wounds and toxic thoughts. But my flesh fought back. But Lord, I want to experience the ocean and dig into Elle's wagon of beach toys. I want to have fun, be free, be in this moment with my family. I don't want to miss out. This feels like beach interrupted. And I learned that day that this right here, right now, was no interruption at all. It was a divine appointment set up by a loving God to show me how to be still, taking all thoughts captive, bandage by bandage, as he removed them and replaced the lies with truth as a healing balm. This right here, he says, is what it was supposed to look like. Being still was key for healing to take place. I won't miss out. Sometimes the greatest victories happen when we move the slowest. Just think about that. It's so easy to do, but to be and to heal, be still and know that he is God, is really hard work. But man, is it great and transformative heart work. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, Romans 12:2 says. And I love Philippians 4:8 in the Passion Translation version. It says, so keep your thoughts continually fixed on all that is authentic and real, honorable and admirable, beautiful and respectful, pure and holy, merciful and kind, and fasten your thoughts on every glorious work of God, praising him always. And so taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him. Do you know the unstoppable love of Jesus this morning, today, this week, tonight, whenever you're watching? If not, come on, try God. Maybe the best Mother's Day gift you could ever give your mother, your grandmother, the auntie that prayed for you, is to try God today. Just try him. I was a skeptic. I understand. And as I looked around to see what people had was real, you know, is this God thing real or are they just making this up? And so try God. I would encourage you to try God. I hope something in today's message encouraged you. If so, will you let us know if you need help with scriptures to renew the mind? Comment, let our online hosts know, or Google renewing mind scriptures. We miss you all so, so much. I miss my hugs from the babies, from the toddlers. Come on, give me a high five, 6 feet apart. Yes, put your hand up to the screen right now. I see you. I love you. We miss you so, so much. And I'm going to pray. And I want you to know that whatever you're facing today, God is able and Jesus loves you. In your worst moment, in your best moment, in every moment, God's love is unstoppable. And so, Father God, I thank you for this message. And I'm just going to come on behalf of all the mamas in the house who have prayed for their loved ones, for their wayward child, Lord Jesus, for the alcoholic father, Lord, for the alcoholic mother, grandmother, for people who are just stuck because of the thoughts that are all consuming, Jesus. I lay every care at the foot of Jesus. I pray, Jesus, right now, that if anyone today is willing to try you, to try God, that they would repeat after me and just say, Jesus, I want to try God today. I am so sick and tired of being sick and tired. I pray right now, Jesus, that first and foremost, I just want to tell you that I'm so sorry for, and you just go ahead and talk to Jesus. You don't need to like have a magical formula. You just talk to the Father. And so for me, when I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I went from knowing God in religion to relationship and knowing Jesus on February 6, 2000. My prayer went something like this. Jesus, take away my desire to binge drink. Take away my desire to get attention from men. Help me to feel worthy without having to have a boyfriend. Help me, Jesus, to just receive your love to help me not feel insecure when I get around friends who have really great fathers in their lives. Lord, help me not to feel less than. Lord Jesus, help me to just lean on you. I grew up and raised by a strong mama, so I know what it means to be independent. Help me, Jesus, to be independent. Independent, I mean, on you, Jesus. And on I prayed, and he had me confess the one time I played with the Ouija board for fun. He had me confess the tarot cards I was involved with just for fun. It was just a game after all. And see, and that's how the enemy works. Oh, it's just a game. Oh, just one drink. Oh, just one look. All it takes is one. But there's one who died on the cross for our sins. And so as you have a time of repentance, you then say, "In Jesus, I invite you to be Lord of my life. I believe you died on the cross for my sins, and I believe in you. Come and live in my heart this day. In Jesus' name, amen and amen." So right where you are in your home, will you join me in worship? Stand where you are. If you need to kneel before the Father, whatever you need, we are going to go in a time of worship to just cry out to God, to be still and practice being still and knowing that he is God. And so thank you so, so much. Stay in, lean in, cry out to God. And I hope this time of worship blesses you.